Well, again, good morning. It's great to see everyone here. This morning we are going to continue with our sermon series on giving. And I am surprised that I think we actually have more people here this week than last week, which is atypical for a sermon series on giving. But that's okay. I will. I'll take it. Not all the same people, but at least I didn't run everybody off. But the one thing I want to say as we, as I talk about giving, this is not a sermon series. Last week, I hope that if you were listening, if you remember what we talked about, and this week certainly is this case. This is not a sermon series about the church getting more money. At its very core, I want you to understand this is not about us accumulating more wealth for the church. And it's not about this congregation having more cash flow. It's not. The sermon on giving last week and the sermon on giving today, it's about being spiritually transformed. It's about allowing God more control in our life. Not us controlling more, but God controlling more. And giving is just one of those mechanisms that He has built into the spiritual transforming process that we can use in order to allow that to happen. So the one thing I want us to just start with this morning is just clear our minds of all of the preconceived everything we've ever thought of or anticipated when it came to considering what we give and considering the amount of money on that check or the number of zeros or how much we pull out of our wallet each week and everything that we think about and anticipate when it comes to that very fact. I want us to forget all about that and just think about how can I use this to be more spiritually transformed? How can God change me through my giving? That's what today is about. That's what last week was about. And this morning, I hope that we listen to that. You know, the title of the sermon is If We Would Only Listen. And in Matthew 17 and 5, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one of the most mysterious passages, I believe. And I was proud to learn this morning, that this is also one of Bob McCloy's favorite passages. Any time that I can share any kind of scriptural anything with Bob, I feel a little bit better about myself. I like to have things in common with people who are smarter than me, and that just shows that there's hope for even me. But in Matthew 17, it's this passage about the transfiguration, and it's mysterious and it's beautiful and it's challenging. And you got to understand and set the scene that, that after a while, Jesus was teaching and there's some things that happened. And after these other things happen, He takes His inner circle and they go up on this mountainside. And Jesus just out of the blue begins to be transfigured before them. I really don't know what that means. But I do know that his face and his clothing and all of this lit up in it, and he shone bright as, and the scripture says, as bright as lightning. I mean, we read that a lot of times and and then Peter started talking and then there was a fog and then God spoke and then they went to Sonic and they had a Coke because it was happy hour. Like, it was just the most normal thing that happened. Now remember, these are guys. Think about, put yourself in the position of those apostles, those disciples sitting there looking at. They had never seen a special effect. They'd never seen Star Wars or any other, a Steven Spielberg movie where things, appeared to be one way. They never saw The Matrix. They don't know what is capable through technology. And so they describe it the only way that they knew how. They said that he began to be transfigured, and Matthew said, his face shone like lightning. And in true Peter form, he feels like he needs to make a statement. This feels like the time that I need to speak. This is a great time for a devotional thought or for me to unload what I have to say. And he starts talking and God turns on the fog machine and just shh. I know you guys are thinking, where do we get one of those machines? and then to hear the voice of God. And it said, the Bible says that God spoke and they heard him and they understood. And why, verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son." I mean, to hear the voice of God, not just a blast, not just so that it sounded like thunder, but to hear the voice of God in their ears. I wonder what that was like. I wonder what that felt like. To hear him say the same thing that he said at the baptism of Jesus. And God doesn't often repeat himself, but this time he does. But he adds one little thing to it. He said, "This is my son, whom I love," or "who I'm pleased with," or "whom I've chosen." And he adds these three words, "Listen to him." He says, "Listen to him." Not just watch him, not just make note, but listen to him. And the question this morning is, will we listen to Jesus? The idea is that to take in what he's saying, watch what he's doing, and allow the experience of Jesus to change us and to transform us, to teach us something, and to amend the way that we think about the world and the way that we think about God and the way that we interact. He's saying, listen to him. He brings you a message and an experience that you've never had or been a part of before. Listen to him. He knows more about me than you will ever hope to know in this life. Listen to him. So will we listen to God? I mean, will we listen? Listen to Jesus. Are we good? Will we listen to our elders? I mean, will we listen to the preacher and allow the words that are said, the experiences that are had to change the way that we think and the way that we feel and change what we will allow God to do in our lives? Will we listen? You see, because everything that Jesus talks about, everything that he's about has to do with one thing. Now, this is one of those, I think some people in our congregation have come to call them Shane-isms or whatever. It's when I take my understanding of Scripture and make it ironclad for the rest of you and just go with it. But I believe that God, that Jesus talks about, you know, everything he talks about has to do with one thing. We can sum it all up, and he's trying to teach us one simple truth, one simple fact, one simple thing that will change everything about the way that we approach life. And that is that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. You see, the problem that we have with God is that he's so unlike us. The experience of God, you know, the grandness of God, the immortality of God, the power of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, all of those things are so unlike us. And so when things are different, we kind of pull back and we think, I don't know. I don't know if I can relate. I don't know if he relates to me. I don't know if I, and everything that God has ever told us is that I am good for you. I will take care of you. I want you around me. I want to be around you. And it's a great experience if you will let me. And from the beginning of time, we have been pulling away from that which we cannot fully comprehend. And Jesus came to say, you can trust God. He can be trusted with everything. So we have to ask ourselves a question: to trust God or to trust God more, what needs to change? You see, that goes along with listening. If we're truly listening, something's got to change, because there's no point in telling us something that we're already doing. I mean, if I tell my kids, clean your room, I don't tell them that because their rooms are clean. I tell them to clean their rooms because their rooms are messy. You know, when somebody tells me something, they don't tell me something for me to do that I'm already doing. It's usually something that I need to change, or something that I need to fix, something I'm not doing, something I am doing that I need to stop doing. And then I can either listen or not. But you know, we say there's a difference between hearing and listening. Oh, I hear words. Parents are like, yeah, we understand that. Oh, I can hear, but are we listening? What needs to change? To trust God means to change. You know, there's an exercise that I want to share with you now. I need Garrett. Where's Garrett? Garrett, come up here real quick. Just bear with me, because you see, the fact of the matter is that there's an action involved with this. Garrett, here, if you could stand up here. Everybody knows, just come up here. You don't have to speak. I told. Now, Garrett, you just stand that way. Just stand right there. Put your feet together. Now, I'm going to ask you to fall backwards, and I'm going to catch you. Okay? Now, do you believe that I'm going to catch you? Do you hear the words I'm saying to you right now?
Yeah.
What did I just say? I told you you didn't have to talk, so okay, I'm not going to lie to you. So, if all right, just fall back, and I'm going to catch you. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Come on. I'm right here. Okay, there you go. See that? Now, if he doesn't fall back, I can't catch him. Now, Garrett, I'm going to ask you to do something. Stand up here. Just get on up here. Just stand up there. Yeah, just be careful. No, turn around. Look, turn around. Okay. Hayden, Jake, come here for a second. Peyton, come here. Come here. All right. Now, Jake, you stand right there. You stand. Y'all bear with me. I've still got some time. Peyton, you stand right there. Hayden, you stand right here. Now, just hold your arms out just like this. Here, get right there. Now, back up just a little bit. All right, y'all got his head. So, okay, just lock him up and fall back. Come on. You want to do it again?
Yeah.
All right. No. I'm just kidding. We don't have that kind of time. All right. Go sit back down. Just sit back down. Yeah. You were sitting over here. You want to do it? Seriously, though, Garrett, would you do that again? Yeah, that's fine. See, trust has to be exercised. We actually have to do something in order for trust to actually exist. Now, it's one thing to fall, you know, everybody's seen the trust fall. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, one person and fall, oh, okay, there's not much at stake here. But did y'all hear? I mean, when we get up here, and then we've got whimpering going on. Oh, that's a mom over there thinking, well, it's Garrett's mom, but, you know, it's somebody. And, oh, be careful. But you see, the difference is when you know that you're going to be caught, when you know that you will never hit the ground, falling is kind of fun, isn't it, Garrett? Oh, yeah. Why don't we jump out of airplanes? Why don't we go skydiving more often? We're afraid. We're afraid that the parachute, we're afraid of the ground is what we're afraid of. But we're afraid of a lot of things and the biggest things, we're afraid the parachute won't open, or it will and then it'll come off, or so, I mean, we're afraid, but you know what? Every picture of everyone that I've seen free falling through the air is there's just big grin on their face. Now, a lot of that's the air forcing their face backwards and their teeth are just exposed on purpose, but they're like, that was awesome. And you know what? Most people who skydive successfully, they say, I want to do that again. I want to do that again. And I want to do it again. And you know, the reality is that once we fall and land safely, the experience of flying is well worth the jump. This morning giving is just like that. Trusting God is putting ourselves in a position to trust. The question is, will we as a church body, will we as individuals, will we listen to Jesus and everything, whether He's healing the sick or forgiving the sins or feeding the hungry or shaming the proud or lifting up the poor? Everything about Jesus is that God is here to be trusted, and we have to put ourselves in a position to trust Him. And instead of putting ourselves in such a position to trust, well, ourselves or our ability or our intellect or our planning or any of those things, instead of putting ourselves in a position to really be safe and secure and on the ground and without any needs or without any unknowns or without any concept or possibility of tragedy happening, then we will never be in a position to trust anything but our own 2 feet underneath us. We have to put ourselves in a position to trust. Giving is part of that. It's not only about thank you, God, but it's about I'm putting myself in a position to trust you. And the biggest thing, it's not trust that we'll get our bills paid or whatever. Because if we tithe and we give 10%, you know, there's no doubt that unless we do something really stupid, which we've all done before, we've all got ourselves into financial situations where we need to learn how to be more responsible. And that's not necessarily what I'm talking about, but if we, as long as we're somewhat responsible, I think we can all pay our bills out of the 90%. But you know what the main thing that we have to trust God is that we can like Him. Because you see, if I'm giving, if I'm generous, if I'm allowing Him to transform what I love, and it's away from things of this earth, and it's away from physical things, it's away from material things, then if I give away and if I fall out of love with everything material and everything physical, guess what? There's only one thing left to love, and that's God. We're not so sure that's as enjoyable as loving everything else. You see, when we let go of everything here, then we're told God will, you know, God will fill us back up. You know, in Luke chapter, in Luke 6 and 38, he says, "What you know, if you give it away, you know, then God will fill you back up." But the problem is that we're not sure we trust Him enough with what He's willing to fill us back up with. I'm not sure that I want what God's going to give. I mean, you know, in my hands I have money and stuff. And if I give all that away, you know, what's God going to give me? Well, He's going to give you peace and joy. Oh, yeah, peace and joy. He's going to give you, you know, Himself. Well, I know, but I want a wave runner. I want peace and joy. I can get peace and joy on my own. What else you got, God? Well, I got just the experience of me. I've got myself. Oh. What else you got, God? I mean, is that sounding familiar? It sounds familiar to me. And I'm learning to hate that about me. That I want what I see and I want what I know about and I want and all of this transcendent God stuff that He talks about. If you will just release this world, I will give you more of me. I know, but I'm not sure that I'm going to like that as much as I like this. Let's just be honest. I mean, after all, isn't that what Jesus calls us to be? He says, just be honest. Just be open. Just let me know you. Not everyone that comes to me on that day and says, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven. He says, because away from me, evildoers, I never knew you. He says, just be honest. It's not evil to say, I'm not sure that that's all I want. It's evil to deny that because we all feel the same way. And if we didn't, sermons about giving would be unnecessary. Will we put ourselves in a position to trust? Will we give more time? to God. Because what that tells us is that I trust you, God. I trust that you are worth my time. I trust that if I'm around you more, I want to be around you more. If I give you my time, if I just think about you more, if I study about you more, if it's like what Jim prayed about, if we would just read his word and experience him more, God, I trust that you're worth my time. We give more talent. Matthew 25 and 15, the story of the talents. The guys that said, look, you know, a landowner came and he was going on a trip and he gave one guy one talent, one guy five talents, and one guy ten, or one, two, and five, something like that. So will we give that back? Whatever opportunities we have, whatever we're good at, will we give God more of our talent, more of what we're good at in order to further his kingdom? God, will I take what you have given me? Remember last week we said, do we believe what we say, that everything I have comes from God and that he has blessed me with ability and intellect and all these things? If I really believe that, God, what I'm good at, what you have blessed me to do, I will do that in your name. Not so much in mine. I'll do that for your glory and not my glory. Will we give more of our treasure? In Proverbs in 21 and 26, it says, I think it's starting in actually verse 25, it says, you know, the sluggard. I love the wording of Old Testament, even New International Version, Old Testament. Proverbs, the sluggard. I don't know about you guys, but I never want anybody to say, oh, that's Shane. Boy, he is such a sluggard. You know, the sluggard, the lazy person, the selfish person, all of that goes into that word sluggard. The lazy, good-for-nothing person. It says that person, his cravings will be the death of him, because all day long, all he does is want and want and want more, never satisfied, always wanting more. But the righteous will give without sparing, because the righteous have learned the more I want of this place, the more I want to want. There's only one who satisfies. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of wanting. I'm tired of wanting. I want to be filled. I want to be satisfied. And it takes some pretty irresponsible financial decisions to realize, you know, as Dave Ramsey says, you just got to get sick and tired of it. But I'm tired of wanting. I want to be filled. I want to be satisfied. And I know in my head that the only thing that satisfies is what Jesus came to teach. And God is saying, will you listen to him when he says that you can be filled if you'll just trust him? Now, I don't know what the coming weeks have to do. I don't know what our budget's going to look like. I don't know if we will be transformed. I don't know. I do know this, is that God is calling us to trust him. And everyone in this room has to put out, we all have to put ourselves in a position to exercise trust. But I promise you, it will be well worth the jump. Experiencing God will be well worth it. This morning, where do you need to trust God more? Where do you need to experience, to put yourself in a place where the only possible outcome is that God shows up? Is it time, talent, money? What is it? What can the ministry here anticipate getting more of and using more of? Will you spend more time with God? Will you spend more of what you're good at with God? Will you release more of the material things that we have for the ministry of Jesus Christ? Where will you trust more? Whatever your need is, some of us this morning need to trust God with the main thing, and that's our very heart, our very lives. We need to confess him as Lord and Savior, be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. If that's where, if you need to start right there and allow the old, untrusting, never experienced God self to be done away with, now is the time to do that. Whatever your need is, if you are a child of His, and you just need the prayers of this congregation to help you trust more. Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.